convening this morning to look into the negotiating mandates from provinces and deliberate on those. And the committee will then again reconvene on Friday to deal with the final mandate and adopt the report once the processes are concluded in the National Assembly tomorrow. So I have thought that we could move our meeting for Friday up to tomorrow, but unfortunately the National Assembly will only be tabling the Division of Revenue Bill in that house tomorrow afternoon. So our meeting for Friday still stands then, and I appeal to honour members. I don't think it will be a long meeting on Friday. Now, we will then deal with the mandates. I realize that some of the members from other provinces are not here, but we'll see how to attend to those. I've got only two apologies, honorable members. The one from Honorable Makubela is on leave until the 8th, and the one from Honorable Bloom. Party political work. So these are the only mandates I have received thus far. And we then move straight to the item dealing with the mandate. Honorable Joseph.
Point of clarity on Honorable Bloom, is he required to attend that meeting on Friday when we have the final mandate?
Yes.
And that's just important that we then inform him about that.
Yes, we must represent this problem.
Since Cook came from conference in the court and the resolution to the government.
Yeah. Establishing that. All right, honourable members, we will move. There's no rep from Eastern Cape, and I would then request honourable De Beer, as a neighbour of the Eastern Cape, to read that mandate to us.
Thank you, honourable chairperson. It's an honour because I was born in that province.
Yeah.
Negotiating mandate received from the provincial legislators. Both of the legislator supports the bill and mandates the Eastern Cape delegate to negotiate in favour of the adoption of the bill signed by the Honourable P. Mkayi, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Finance, 5 November 2017.
Thank you, Honourable De Beer. Honourable members, that is the Eastern Cape supporting the bill. The mandate is quite straight and simple. There's no issues for declaration there. I'll then move to Honourable Lisa.
Chairman, I know I've been dealing with these mandates with you for a very long time and should know what the process is, but yesterday, in my lack of attention during the meeting, I was dealing with something similar in the sense that it was being argued from the Western Cape point of view that a mandate had to be a legislature mandate, not a portfolio committee mandate. And I didn't really know the answer. But looking at these, there are a lot of these mandates are portfolio mandates and not legislature mandates. What is the correct? I mean, I never got a real clear answer yesterday in the discussion that took place.
Yes, you're right, Honorable Lees. You remember we have had this discussion before, but In terms of negotiating mandates, as the first set of mandates, usually they will be coming from the provincial legislature but signed for by the chairperson of the committee. But in terms of the mandating act, the final mandate strictly should be signed by the speakers of the legislature. So that's why when it comes to final mandate, we would not accept it if it's signed by the chair of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for your indulgence on that. I will now present to the committee the mandate, the negotiating mandate from the Free State Legislature. The Free State Legislature votes in favour of the bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Lees. Free State is also straight and forward, no issues for deliberation. Gauteng, Honourable Mashile, can you help us with Gauteng? Also vote in favor of the bill. KZN, Honorable Liz.
Mr. Chairman, on behalf of the KZN Legislature, I submit the mandate of the KZN. Portfolio Committee on Finance met today, Tuesday the 5th of November 2013, and agreed to mandate the KwaZulu-Natal delegation to the National Council of Provinces to support the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, B38-2013. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Liz. That's KZN and Mpumalanga, Honourable Mashile.
Chairperson, the Portfolio Committee on Legislative Oversight, the Premier's Office and Finance, supports the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill and confers on me, representing the province of Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces, the mandate to vote in favor of the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable. Mashile, Mpumalanga supports the bill. You are welcome, Honorable Ranto, for the Eastern Cape. Just for the record and for your information, we had earlier on requested Honorable DPA, as he was born in Eastern Cape, to present on behalf of Eastern Cape the mandate. And he did that the Eastern Cape do support the bill as its delegation. And you are welcome, Honorable Muntiti. We just read the mandate from Gauteng as well. Honorable Mashile assisted there. You were still not in here. We move to the mandate for the Northern Cape. Honorable DPO.
Chairperson, the Northern Cape met on the negotiating mandate, and they vote in favour of the bill signed by Honorable Gail Parker, Chairperson of the DC of Finance.
Come again, Honorable De Beer. I see there are some issues contained in your mandate for deliberation. If you could talk to those.
Written inputs on the bill, there were none. Inputs from stakeholders, there was no public hearings held. Committee concerns, that's now the portfolio committee of finance in the legislature. Okay, part of the ESCOM levy currently charged part of the Eskom levy currently charged that is used for maintenance of Mpumalanga roads should be considered to make provision for provinces like the Northern Cape, which have similar conditions like mining activities and high usage of road by trucks, should also benefit. The signing off of the bill and the subsequent release of funds should be fast-tracked to enable provinces to spend the funds before end of the financial year, especially on disaster-stricken areas. After due to the deliberation, the Portfolio Committee on Finance, Economic Development, Tourism supports the bill. There was an issue regarding this thing of the disaster funds that was lying in the bank account of the Department of Agriculture. We picked it up on the chairperson when the Department of Agriculture Northern Cape appeared before appropriations. It was early in the year. And we picked it up. And I sent a letter to the MEC, the MEC for Finance, Northern Cape. Because there was also a query from the National Department of Agriculture. So that was the committee concerns. But in any case, they requested us to vote in favor of the vote.
Thank you, Honorable De Beer. The concerns are noted, and I would want the National Treasury to know that we'll come back and deliberate on that. And Northwest, immediately after the Eastern Cape, I will ask Honorable Ranto to just read out that mandate for Northwest in the record. Honorable Ranto.
To the chairperson of the Select Committee on Appropriation, name of the bill, Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, the Amarok Bill, question B38 of 2013, date of deliberation for November 2013, vote of the legislature. National Treasury needs to analyze thoroughly and revise the appropriation to the Department of Finance with regard to the wage bill of the employees of the Northwest Provincial Government. The Portfolio Committee on Provincial Affairs and Finance in favor and support the bill. The NCOP delegate is conferred with the authority and mandate to negotiate in favor of the bill. Signed by Honorable Errol Mabe, Chairperson, Provincial Affairs and Finance.
Thank you very much, Honorable Banto. Northwest also vote in favor. That was the last mandate. Joseph.
Thank you, Chair. The Western Cape have not submitted negotiating mandate. They were unable to get a quorum on that side and will be submitting a final mandate Friday morning.
All right, they will submit the final mandate. Okay, thank you. So far, honourable members, all provinces that submitted have supported the bill, and we've got only two concerns. The one regarding the Eskom levy from the Northern Cape, and the one concern relating to the correctness and or lack thereof, if I understand it correctly, of the employees' salaries in the Northwest. I think the National Treasurer will reflect on those two honorable.
Did we hear anything from the famous province Limpopo? Or Zunda was asleep?
No. There's no mandate from Limpopo.
I think there may be a need to flag that. Because surely Limpopo is under administration, there's a lot of people that have been put together there to turn around things, and there can be other problems of logistical arrangements and all that. And I think we just need to raise this particular matter.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mastile. The information I had, we'll follow up, but the information I had is that the committee couldn't form a quorum, but you're right, we'll then have to take the matter up and make sure that come Friday we do have the final mandate and stuff. National Treasurer?
Thank you. I've actually picked up four issues because if you look at the detailed write-up, there's also some issues embedded in there. There's two from the Northern Cape and two from the Northwest. And what we can do is we can also, if necessary, then support our answers further with any written input if that is necessitated. The issues that's raised, some of them deal with the India stuff or the 2013-14 financial year issues, and some of the issues are more longer term or 2014 MTF issues and also relates to policies. The first one that's mentioned by the Northern Cape deals with the Eskom levy and to where it should be extended or not extended. It currently covers certain roads and it doesn't cover others. But the Eskom levy is just one of the ways that provincial roads are funded. There's also other mechanisms available to fund roads as well. And one of the issues that we actually also deliberated as part of the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill was the amendment to the provincial road maintenance grant formula. And the reason why that formula was amended is actually to ensure that it's now linked to the strategicness of the road, the length of the road, the quality of the road. So the new formula it introduced actually better caters for the needs of individual provinces and actually take roading conditions into account, where the previous formula that was in place was more based on similar type of formula to the provincial equitable share. So this road is much, the formula is much more strategic, much more linked to the actual needs, and it funds strategic roads in a province, and this type of roads will definitely be classified as strategic. So we need to also look at that reform when we take into account the funding that it goes to the Northern Cape but also other provinces. Then with regard to the fast tracking of the release of funds, again there's two issues here, and there's also adjustments because the first one is more than a 2014 issue. Then with regard to the fast tracking of the release of funds, there's two issues that need to be kept into account here. The first one is that National Treasury is only able to release the funds once the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill is signed into Act. So that takes a bit of time because after the NTRP is voted hopefully in favour of the bill, what then happens, it then gets referred to the presidency, and the president must first sign off, and only after it's been enacted can we then do the payments. So generally the funds go to the provinces, or the any adjustments budget money goes in December, early December around there, or at least middle December as well. What then happens, the provincial equitable share gets released to the provincial treasury, and the conditional grants get then released, and in terms of the payment schedule, to the national department concerned. Of course, they then need to release the funds to the provincial departments, and the provincial departments then need to ensure that that funds are spent. But what we can do with respect to the Northern Cape issue and the issue raised with regard to the disaster release funds, there's again funds available for that purpose. So what we'll do is we'll urge the national departments responsible for the conditional grants that they ensure that they improve their monitoring and ensure that the funds are spent before the end of the financial year. Because that responsibility actually doesn't lie with National Treasury, it lies with the national departments and, of course, the provincial departments as well. What we'll do is we'll follow up in that regard. Then with regard to the Northern Cape, they've asked the first question whether the OSD or occupational specific dispensation is included in this adjustment that's been made. And the answer is yes for those OSDs that's already been approved and implemented.
not new
overseas. Just hold on.
Sorry to interrupt. I just want clarity on your opening statement with regard to the Northern Cape or Northwest. Just want to clarify.
No, that was the Northern Cape that raised the issue. With regard, with regard to the OST, that's the Northwest. Sorry.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. They raised in their detailed document and write up an issue with, but it applies to all provinces, of course, because it's an equitable share issue. For all OSTs that have been approved to date and have been implemented, yes, it's included because it's part of the normal cost of of employees to the company. So then with regard to how are these amounts determined, keep in mind there's been three corrections this year through the adjustments budget. The one is for the higher than projected inflation costs. The second one is then for the upgrading of clocks. And the third one is then, again, also related to the inflation adjustment, but particularly as it relates to FET colleges. And they're all determined in different ways. And keep in mind that some of these practices have been actually well established, and it's genuine the way that it's determined. With regard to the adjustment for the inflation, it's determined based on the personnel numbers for all provinces as at 31 March 2013. So it's just before this financial year started, and it's determined like that for all provinces. And the reason why that is done like that for the in-year allocations is to enable all provinces, even the staff that they're employing 1 April 2014, that they can actually cover their costs, because that is the cost that the province should have catered for within their budget. So that is fair and equitable. The same doesn't apply, by the way, for the NTF allocations, where the allocations are just determined in terms of the formula. Then with regard to the clock adjustment, what has been done there, keep in mind that we've got access to the partial system that includes all the staff employee numbers in terms of national government and provinces, and we pulled out of there the clock numbers per specific province, and we then applied both for national and provinces exactly the same criteria and methodology to determine what amount they need to receive. And that again is based on what is currently provided within that budget and the provincial budget, but also national budget, but also the clock numbers that they've got available or currently employing that needs to be adjusted. Then with regard to the FET colleges, we took into account the number of employees in FET colleges. So there's a fair basis that's determined for everyone. Then with regard to the specific request from the Northwest that their amount needs to be reconsidered, given that there's a firm basis that's used for all provinces, we cannot adjust an allocation for one specific province because that will become inequitable. And first, secondly, we need to take that money. If there was, even if we could consider that, we need to take it away from someone else. So if there's any other province that's got like spare cash lying around that will donate to the Northwest, that's one matter. But it is fair and equitable, and we need to ensure that we treat everyone fairly. So that is specifically with regard to personnel-related costs. We need to use one principle and apply it throughout the province. What is important is that all provinces will complain that they don't have sufficient funding for personnel. But what we've picked up, and we are giving attention to that, is that there's often, and the same applies to national, by the way, it's not just pointing fingers at provincial government, but some provincial departments really put in quite a strong control on how they manage their staff. And they ensure that they've got sufficient funds before they appoint new staff. But some provinces, whether they've got the budget or not, they just appoint left, right, and center. And in the end, it puts actually financial drain on the province concerned. And one good example, a few years ago, KwaZulu-Natal sat in that situation. And they actually applied quite stringent control and actually got their personnel numbers in under control as well. But National Treasury is working with the provincial treasuries as well to enable them and actually assist them to actually better control their personnel, because personnel budgets make up at least 60% of the provincial budget overall. So if that cost is not controlled, then it can really run out of control. Yeah, so those are the issues that's been raised. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Just have nothing to add. With regard to the issue of funds, release of funds for the disaster, I think one of the major challenges that I usually see is of the readiness of the departments to plan and receive those funds. And I think the example of the disaster funds in agriculture that has been in the bank is a typical one. So I think if there's anything that perhaps, you know, collectively, you know, we probably need to enforce is for them to make sure that their plans are ready so that they can really just roll as the funds come rolling down to them.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Mon Mashile.
I think we'll continue and say the same thing every time when we meet in this kind of meeting until probably this matter has been resolved. It depends if the provinces, their plans are ready to receive the funds. If the provinces are not ready, what happens? What happens? And in the spirit of cooperative governance and intergovernmental relations, what is that that we need to, especially when we meet in the things so-called minimax, whatever it is called, what is that that we are doing to actually make sure that those provinces that left behind are assisted in order to deliver the services? Because you see, Chair, I mean, we just need to reiterate this. The National Department and Treasury cannot sit like a school teacher with a red pen waiting to put a wrong and a right on it. Where we need to assist for people to spend the money, we need to be able to do that. Because when that doesn't happen, that means a service is not provided to people. And as we have been saying before, is that while you're seeing the numbers in the budget as money, but actually those numbers are services in monetary terms. When you hold on those numbers, thinking that you are holding money, you are actually holding a service that people are waiting for it out there. Now, I really just wanted to go back to with the point that we discussed last, the question where one national department decided on the conditional grant just simply to give them 17%. On the first call, when everybody thinks that what is normal will be around a quarter, which is about 25%, then this department decides no, then we're giving them 17%. And when you look at that, what is the implication of that? That means another quarter of the remaining three, they are going to receive a higher amount, which they may fail to spend. And you can fancy if it is on the last call that you then are creating crisis. And therefore, one still wants to make that particular call. And of course, asking Treasury to look at this specific matter of national departments just giving some funny percentages, actually creating uncertainty of the receiving departments or provinces, you know, not knowing exactly what they are going to get. I mean, if you know that you are in December you are going to have 30,000, then you are able to think properly what you want to do with 30,000. But if that money can be changed, then you can plan, then you can be ready to receive the money. So if we could just simply on all the conditional grants, then we make sure that the tranches that we are going to actually send to the receiving officers, is certain that they are able to plan. And because there are some of those conditional grants where there is just a license fair, and it's not certain exactly how much is going to be done. It is just said, you know, according to a business plan. What is according to a business plan? What's according to a business plan? I mean, there must be certainty. And we can only respond. But we can't really just give a license fair where then nobody knows. If that province has not submitted a business plan, it can't get a conditional grant. Chair, without speaking too much, is that the conditional grant, I think we need to have a single understanding. The intention of a conditional grant is to make sure that that specific service happens. That's why we lock the money. It should not be used for anything else. It must be used for that specific service. But then when we have done that to try and ensure that that service is delivered, but then create conditions that can undermine that, then it can't be right. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Joseph.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just a comment. The official referred to funded post, but I think I want to refer to unfunded post and funded post when provinces or departments do their organizational design or restructure in terms of their needs. So I think by now we should not have people filling posts without the post being part of the organizational design and the post being funded after the application submitted to cover all the costs. I think that should become a principle. And if we have that in place, we'll have better good governance as well. And maybe the contract post position then comes into being for a while until all the other formal structures are in place. And then on the disaster plan, we had a debate in NCOP not so long ago, and I think overall national, all provinces should have, or national departments should have disaster management plans. But afterwards, when there's a recovery needed, you know, bridge need to be built somewhere, or rehabilitation, then only that plan becomes the plan in terms of that damage caused by through the disaster. So I'm just wanted to clarify, are you saying that some provinces do not have a strategic plan in place, you know, and therefore is unable to access funds should a disaster strike in a particular area in the province? Just wanted to clarify that.
Honourable Dubier.
Chairperson, just two or three points. The Northern Cape got a coastal area of 308 kilometres. There's disaster management programs for veld fires and flooding rivers, but there's nothing at all for sea disaster on coastal areas. Zero. It was admitted by the Minister for Finance when the Treasury is appeared before the Select Committee for Finance. I just want to register this point. But they will report back to us when they appear before us, January, February 2014, on this issue. Because it's a major issue. The second point is, Chairperson, at the presentation and briefing of the appropriations bill after the national budget was tabled, we made a proposal that there will be a headcount in provinces like what has been done in Limpopo with success. That the Treasury report back to us what is the situation. Is this headcount being rolled out to the other 8 provinces regarding personnel? Because the recipe worked in the book to bring the expenditure down on the budget. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, members.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it again. Say it, don't forget. In
yeah. 30 seconds. I just wanted to check whether, from Treasury side, whether there is any debate about assisting Limpopo province. Because, you know, due to their challenges in the past 2 years or so, that they have not been able to perform on certain conditional grants and the rest, and that resulted in funds being withheld. And now, now that the province is turning around, is there any debate of the National Treasury to assist Limpopo so that then it can move and it can access those funds?
Thank you, Honourable Members. I think on the issue raised by Honourable Dibia, I'm not sure, but I know that the Minister is required by law at some point to respond to recommendations arising out of committee work on both the fiscal framework and division of revenue. So I'm sure that will happen. But Honourable Members, before I give Treasury to comment on some of the issues, particularly this one of withholding of funds and our being consistent every time to put pressure on National Treasury to say what is it that they do to assist where there's lack of capacity. If you look at it again, I'm of the view that perhaps we need to change our the manner in which we want it to happen, because to me now it is becoming clearer that we should actually be putting pressure on provinces to build that particular capacity. Because I would imagine, because it's now a national problem, I would imagine if the National Treasury now, as a department, not a super department, a department like any other department, having to now assist municipalities, everybody else, whether they will have that capacity. But what is funny about the situation at all levels, I have never come across a situation where there's a complaint about lack of capacity in the salary departments of all these spheres of government. Employees of government are paid on time every month. Money get used. We have never been told that no, province A has retained money which was for salaries because they could not pay salaries because of capacity problem. You see?
They even pay non-existing
people. That's how strong the capacity is there. You see? So if you look at that on its own, then they must understand that planning in terms of rolling out of services should be as much important as payment of salary.
Yes.
Because the very same people that are being paid salaries,
yes,
are paid salaries on the understanding that they have delivered services. You see. So, because we'll continue to say Treasury do this, but they will continue just to note it, but I don't see them ever being able to do that unless they completely take over this department and all of them are run by National Treasury. And our laws does not allow that. We know each and every sphere of government, and they've got also limitations in terms of this kind of interventions that they do. They can only assist, and that's all that they can do. If people are not ready, like we usually see at municipalities where is assistance, people are sent to assist, they just leave those people in the offices and go out. And when the people return back to the provincial treasury, they are back to square one there in the municipality. So it's almost at the end of the term of this administration, but those who will be coming back, I think going forward, pressure should be put to the real target. Those people who are supposed to do the planning so that they are ready to receive this fund. Otherwise, they will receive this fund, like the agriculture example. The money will be there in the account even though there's a disaster, because they don't have capacity to spend. At best, if they spend it, it becomes wasteful and irregular expenditures and all those things. But that's my comment. You can comment.
I think that comment is helpful. I'm rubbing my head. Sometimes when we try to respond, we don't always, seem to be getting it right, because it's a complex issue. And I think I must say that we do are very much aware of the need to support. While we have strengthened our monitoring and are able to see that things are not happening in terms of spending and performance, we have looked at support, and I think it has been over time that we have put support in place in terms of supporting infrastructure, particularly with regard to provinces. But I think when you look at some of the key things that are necessary for that to work, it's really about that willingness for them to put the right kind of skills in place. And the collective effort between the sector and the department. Because what we have done was to put in place very proper systems and frameworks that allows for us to plan ahead of time. Because that's the issue with infrastructure, that you do need to have a due process in terms of planning. But we also put in place the system that allows them to look at what kind of capacity they need. So we have got capacity frameworks that we also even funded through some of these continuous grants and say a small portion of your education grant, you need to fund this specialized skills. Because I think that was a major issue, that when you don't have that specialized skills in the department, you are not able, therefore, to drive planning to oversee performance. And I think in some of the provinces where they did the right things, like, for instance, KZN Health, you know, employing just few, even if it's one, two, three key people that are very professional, things just turn around like this. So I think where we struggle is to really get them to get the right kind of professionals. And I think that's what we are pushing, that's what we are saying. The department, national departments also need to play a role to push, because they are paying for that capacity through their grants. Because we said it doesn't make sense that you underspend a huge amount of money, you can't use small amount of money to get the right kind of professionals. So we have worked out on what kind of professionals. DPSA has approved the framework on what kind of structure and education you need for planning and oversight, what kind of professionals you need. And we can even report and say where we are now in different provinces. We are in different places. Some are moving, some are very slow, some want to promote the same people that don't have qualifications. And it's a struggle, you know, to get it hard. But we are fighting very hard still, you know, to make sure that we can see. And what we have also done is to introduce incentives. And that also we may be beaten up and say, why do you then take money from the one that is underperforming and give to the other one? But the issue for us is how do you get people to really want to perform? Because sometimes, like, our system actually rewards non-performance. The more you underperform, the more we support you, you know. So I think we are caught in that between the rock and the hard place. What is it that will trigger performance? Because at the end of the day, provinces have to deliver. National departments have to do their oversight. But what will trigger that performance? So I think we kind of are sitting in that place where we are pushing things and we are really not sure now what is the right, you know, security to hit them with. I think the issue of certainty in constitutional grants, we have embedded that in our system of constitutional grants. We have got payment schedules, but obviously departments have got to oversee. The grant that probably is an issue is probably the housing subsidy grant, you know, because while the provinces, there's a very clear payment schedule, what they don't always do is to have a very clear payment schedule to the municipalities that are implementing. We have actually said in DORA that requirement is still there for them to put in place the payment schedule. But it is indeed one of those that things that happen that they don't, but they then dump the money towards the end of the year, which means that they're actually breaking the law in a sense. So that also requires also the national department to really play a very strong oversight to make sure that they actually are doing the right thing in terms of the payment. So, but the law allows them to be able to do that, and that it forces them to be able to do that. So in terms of the headcount in the province, yes, we are rolling the headcount. We will be able to come and report to where we are. Obviously, we are not able to do it all at the same time because we are using state SA to be able to do that. But we are doing that. We can be able to come and do the process. I think with regards to Limpopo, I think we are not just talking about assisting Limpopo to perform. We are really there now. And I think the biggest thing that we are talking about now is around sustainability. you know. So whilst we are still cleaning up, you know, some of the things that were not happening right in the system, we are also in line with the framework of capacity building that we have, particularly with infrastructure, because that is where the failure was. And so we are putting in place the right kind of capacity. We are putting in place the right kind of procurement systems. So we must, you know, see even from this year, at the end of the year, we will see quite a turnaround in terms of performance. And we hope that all things not changing, that we will see even much more improvement in the coming years as the systems and the capacity that we are putting now get embedded.
Just quickly, the one question that was asked about the disaster management plans and whether provinces need disaster management plans and how does it relate into the disaster request. The disaster request deals with specific projects, so the disaster plan makes provision for an eventuality where the plans after the disasters happen, you need a special plan actually on how you're going to target that specific area. So that is what the additional plan is. That's over and above the plan that's currently in place. But maybe another important point that, or difference that we've actually added from this financial year as well, is that we've also brought in the National Disaster Management Centre as well. And actually, in future, what needs to happen, if you look at the conditional grant framework, for example, for agriculture, it says the business plans for the allocated disaster funds must be in line with the post-verification process and must be submitted also to the National Disaster Management Plan in addition to the department that's responsible. So hopefully they can also then assist in ensuring that there's better spending on the disaster funds as well, because they also now starting to take a keen interest in actually improving their monitoring as well.
Thank you very much, Honourable Ranto.
Can I just check up, and I'm also, my COVID is also going to have a deal in front of it today. Can I leave?
Just before you leave, we still have to just adopt the mandate, then I can release you. Just a minute. Honourable members, we're done with the clarifications. Happy?
I want a clarification.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
Chairperson, you once sent me to Eastern Cape to present in Division of Revenue Bill. I'm listening to you now when you're saying the department or the national or the provincial government or the local government people have never asked for anything to do, for any money for salaries, they have enough. And also you were saying they don't ask for support of anything to do with their salaries. But what I want to raise here is the issue of the disaster management. That in 2012, when you sent me to Eastern Cape for a division of revenue on behalf of Umaro Sewa, there was an issue on the usage of the disaster fund that was raised in that committee meeting. And one person that was with me there, I don't know, was he from the Treasury or where was he from, but he promised Eastern Cape that the Treasury will come and give support or train or workshop or whatever the Treasury that will do for the province, so that the province is able to use their funds, and the municipalities, the district municipalities that are having problems on using their disaster fund, that gentleman who was there on that time, just a pity I don't follow the financial committee issues because I'm not part of the financial committee. So he promised that he will ask from the department or from the Treasury to send somebody or some people to the province to help the province in their functioning or in the usage of their finances and to the district also. Don't know what happened. Did they do that or were they not aware of that? Maybe he kept that to himself, or they did not have people to send to the province, because up to now, in my district in Joka, we are still seated with the disasters of the Gaia in 1998. People who were never helped, because there are stories about the finances of the disaster management. So I'm not sure what happened between the treasury and the province and the district of Eastern Cape.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Rwanda. I think the matter was never reported back formally to the committee, but when the final mandates came subsequently. But I think it's a matter that we can request National Treasury to follow up on, and then give us a written feedback as to, so that we can be able to also take the matter up with the province as to whether the offer made still stands, if the challenge is still there in the Eastern Cape relating to those disaster funds. Would that be in order, Honourable Member?
I think that was an overstatement. I can speak in this committee.
No, no, you have got all the rights to speak, like any other member. Thank you very much. Honourable members, the mandates have been tabled. Can I now get the mover for adoption of the mandates? Honourable De Beer moves, and Honourable Mashile and Liz second. Thank you, Honourable Members. The reports for Friday will be circulated to all members during the course of our sitting in this room, so that we go through it, and when we come and do the final mandate, we also reflect on the report on Friday morning, so that we don't take long. And
Jim?
Honourable Liz?
We've heard a lot about the fiscal cliff in the US, and we don't get a quorum on Friday. Well, we hit our own fiscal
cliff. That's why we are requesting you, Honourable Liz, to make sure that you are here. We form our quorum. Hopefully we'll be finished before people rush to the airport.
As a form of breakfast, and then
you
propose to have this meeting on Saturday afternoon.
The next item, Honourable Members, is the consideration of the minutes of the previous meeting.
Very good.
The last item. Sorry, Honourable Members, I was struggling to get the minutes. I forgot this new format. I thought it's the list of speakers in the houses. The first of the set of minutes is the minutes of the 9th of October. Where we are adopting the reports. Are we all having the minutes on the 9th of October? It's only one page.
Yes.
Any corrections or omissions? None. May I have the mover?
I move.
Moved, Honourable De Beer, seconded by Honourable Joseph. Thank you. Second set of minutes is the 24th of October. Also one page, excluding the attendance register. Any corrections, omissions? If none, may I have the mover? Honorable Joseph moves.
Seconda. Another machine is still reading. Honorable Dupier, are you
seconding?
The third set of the minutes, the minutes of the 25th of October. No, you were present. Machine appears every time there on the present block, so you were there.
I was hesitating because I was trying to remember whether, in fact, you were the chairperson or whether it was Honorable Mufumadi who was chairing that meeting and whether you actually did welcome everyone present.
To the people of Clover,
I was not in the meeting. I was in the medical hospital in Bloemfontein when you started the meeting in Cape Town. And I submitted an apology with the reasons I was
You submitted an apology. You must move down. Thank you. Any corrections? If none, may I get the mover? Honorable Liz moves. Second is the Honorable Joseph. Minutes of the 29th of October. Here it was only the three of us. That's when we split at the committee. So we proceeded only the three of us, myself, one of Montisi, and one of Liz. I remember, that's right.
For the tour.
Yeah, for the tour situation.
No, it was the 1-2 situation.
No, the 2-1.
No, 1-2.
Can I get the move? And I will list, you are the only one who can move. I'll second.
There's some action that I'm moving.
And I remember that was the. the report is only on the program, just, it will just be distributed, there's nothing to discuss. For members only. The broader participants will get it on Friday, but it is only secretary to members. Honourable members, that brings us to the end of today's meeting. I wish to thank you, and we will immediately change that and start with the finance committee meeting. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.
Honourable members, we'll give a comfort break of 2 minutes that the treasury can set themselves up, get yourself a cup of tea. And then we can start within 2 minutes.
2 minutes. You are tired.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna connect on my computer.